Beijing announced a surprise 20% tax on offshore trusts. Welcome to Debug the Hype. I'm Alex Morgan, and this show is not affiliated with Reddit or any subreddit. Today's date is August 6th, 2026. That 20% tax is the single move that set off markets and a private bank scramble this week. We'll get into why it matters beyond billionaires. France is outlawing unsolicited sales calls starting August 11th, moving from an opt-out system to strict opt-in rules. And regulators say illegal calls could draw fines of tens or even hundreds of thousands of dollars per breach. Authorities estimate roughly three-quarters of people in France receive at least one unsolicited sales call each week, which helps explain the public push. But Morocco has warned that tens of thousands of call center jobs tied to French campaigns could be at risk. Watch this because it's a live test of how consumer protection and cross-border services collide. If companies don't adapt, expect calls to shift to digital channels and faster regulatory friction for international outreach. Western Union quietly launched a Visa-linked stable card that holds a USD-pegged stablecoin called USDPT across 37 markets today, with a plan to hit more than 60 by year-end. The product combines a dollar-backed wallet on Solana with a physical or mobile card you can add to Apple Pay or Google Pay, and the company pitches it as faster, cheaper remittances for people in currency-volatile countries. This matters because a major remittance brand routing consumer value onto stablecoin rails could speed cross-border payments, but it also raises familiar regulatory questions about AML, KYC, and consumer protection as stablecoins move into everyday spend.
In a rare currency operation disclosed this week, U.S. officials acknowledged that swaps were used to buy yen by selling euros, not dollars, in coordinated intervention with Japan. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent called it a reallocation of foreign exchange reserves. Markets read that as an effort to support an undervalued yen without weakening the dollar, after late July operations helped push the dollar-yen rate down from multi-decade highs. The practical kicker, interventions like this can stabilize short-term moves, but their odd mechanics, euros for yen, leave traders asking why the U.S. didn't use dollars, and that uncertainty will shape market positioning into the autumn. Beijing's surprise tax on offshore trusts is designed to close a long-standing revenue gap, and the mechanics are immediate. A 20% levy at nearly every stage of a trust's life, plus a 90-day window to declare assets moved into trusts since January 2023. Those deadlines, the amnesty window reportedly ends October 22nd, created a scramble in private banks, trust companies, and law firms across Hong Kong and Singapore. To put scale behind the headline, assets in Hong Kong trusts were about HK$5.2 trillion in 2023, and advisors warned that the most tradable holdings, listed Hong Kong and mainland stocks, could be forced into sales if clients need liquidity to meet bills.
The policy mix matters for three reasons. First, it's revenue raising at a time when land sale proceeds and headline growth are softer, so Beijing appears to be widening the tax base rather than leaning only on familiar channels. Second, it changes incentives for how wealthy Chinese families hold pre-IPO stakes and offshore property. A 20% tax is large enough to alter ownership structures, repatriation timing, and even corporate listings. Third, the market channel. Forced liquidations would add near-term price pressure to already fragile equity pockets, and that ripple could hit local brokers, margin positions, and confidence in cross-border wealth planning. You can hear the reaction in the quotes. One private client lawyer told reporters many clients are still in shock, and private banks are reportedly repricing fees, rushing to calculate clients' tax exposure, and advising on possible asset sales. Reddit threads in investment and geopolitics communities mix sympathy for the tax crackdown on avoidance with concern that heavy retroactive levies discourage overseas investment and encourage capital flight in ways that are hard to forecast. Practically, watch three things. First, trading volumes and net selling in Hong Kong and China A shares over the next 2 months. Second, any guidance from Hong Kong's regulators about reporting and withholding. And third, whether wealthy families choose to liquidate or try to litigate. Both paths carry signaling effects for global asset allocation.
Now, shift theaters.
Germany this week says it foiled a plot to assassinate executives at companies that supply drones to Ukraine, highlighting how kinetic pressure is moving from front lines into corporate risk. Reporting by Die Zeit and court filings say surveillance on Stefan Thumann, a co-founder of Bavarian drone supplier Donaustahl, began in December 2025 after his firm supplied reconnaissance and FPV drones to Ukrainian units. Two operatives, allegedly recruited online, were arrested in March 2026 in Spain and North Rhine-Westphalia, and Serbian police later seized explosives on a lorry bound for Bavaria. Those facts matter because this was not a one-off criminal scheme, but investigators say it looks like state-linked intelligence activity that recruited locals and used cross-border logistics to move explosives. Thumann's company halted public appearances and tightened security after a prosecution letter he believed came from Moscow. And he told the alleged plotters directly, "You will not break me," a quote that underlines both personal risk and public defiance. The broader implication is chilling. If suppliers to Ukraine can be surveilled and targeted on European soil, private firms face a choice between staying anonymous, operating under heavy security, or pulling back entirely. And that decision shapes Ukraine's supply chain and European industrial policy.
Put those two stories together, and a pattern emerges about how states are increasingly using non-traditional levers to press advantage. Taxation, legal pressure, and targeted covert action are part of the same toolkit for controlling capital, people, and technology. On one hand, Beijing's fiscal move pulls wealth back onto the balance sheet. On the other, Russia's alleged operations push private actors into defensive postures. For companies and investors, that means higher compliance costs, thicker security layers, and a growing premium on choosing jurisdictions and partners carefully. Reddit communities reacted in ways that sharpened practical trade-offs. On the geopolitics threads, commenters applauded German authorities for the arrests and warned that more oversight is needed to protect dual-use firms. Others argued these incidents show why some Western suppliers want clearer government protection and export coordination. On finance and global news threads, users debated whether Beijing's policy is a necessary corrective to tax avoidance or a heavy-handed move that will accelerate wealth transfer out of China. Both conversations land on the same operational reality. When states make abrupt moves, the private sector pays first, in higher costs, reputational risk, or strategic retreat. And those second-order effects are the policy lever many capitals are now wielding. A few practical watch points before we move on. Markets will be sensitive to any fiscal follow-ups from Beijing and a sovereign or regulatory advisories about trust reporting. European governments will be watching corporate security incidents closely and may propose legal protections for personnel working on defense supply chains. And for ordinary listeners, these stories are the reminder that geopolitical risk is now a line item in more balance sheets than ever.
If states can extract value through taxes or intimidate private suppliers through covert action, then the strategic contest over capital and capability is as much about law and logistics as it is about missiles. I'm Alex Morgan from Debug the Hype.